Evening. As you'll recall from last Wednesday evening, our last study in the life of Elijah, we had the opportunity to see Elijah once again have a meeting with King Ahab. We said that it was Elijah's last encounter, his last meeting there with Ahab, and that final meeting. And it was during that meeting that Elijah stood with boldness and delivered a message of judgment from the Lord. And we made note last week how that you saw the boldness of Elijah in 1 Kings 17 and 18, and then there are some difficulties that came into his life in chapter number 19. And you don't read about Elijah again there in chapter number 19 after he receives the encouragement from the Lord. You don't read about him again until chapter number 21 when he's instructed of the Lord to go once again and appear to Ahab and deliver this message. And once again you see him stand with boldness. And he gave that message to King Ahab. He prophesied of the death of Ahab, the death of Jezebel, and the destruction of Ahab's descendants, his house. And as we discussed last week, the judgment that was announced by Elijah was from the Lord. It was from the word of the Lord. And we find that even as we studied last week, we looked at the fulfillment of each of those prophecies, and it came to pass just as God said that it would. We find that in chapter number 22 of 1 Kings, and that was about 3 years had passed between the encounter between Ahab and Elijah in chapter number 21, when Elijah announced the death of Ahab. And we find that 1 Kings chapter number 22 records for us a battle that takes place between the children of Israel and the Syrians. And it was in that battle that was approximately 3 years after our study that we had last week that Ahab would be killed in that battle. And we find that it was during that battle, if you were to look at 1 Kings chapter 22, that it's there in that text of Scripture where the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, comes, and he goes together, they make affinity, and they have an agreement, and they go into battle together, and it's there that Ahab is killed, and we saw the fulfillment of that prophecy. The book of 1 Kings ends by telling us that the son of Ahab, Ahaziah, is the one that would assume the throne of Israel, and he would become the next king. We find that the writer of 1 Kings, the last few verses of 1 Kings, provide us with the record of Ahaziah becoming the king of Israel. It's interesting, if you were to look at that passage of Scripture, I know you're just a few pages over, we're in 2 Kings chapter number 1, but if you go back just a page or two in 1 Kings chapter number 22, in verses 51 and 52 and 53, is where God records for us some information about this man, Ahaziah. You'll notice in the text of Scripture that it says, Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and the way of his mother, and the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, for he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. Now that's not what you want to be said about you, amen? That's not a good report. That's not a good summary of his reign over Israel. We find that the Bible tells us that he walked in the ways of his father, Ahab. Remember, Omri was Ahab's father, and he had been the most wicked king up to that point. And Ahab assumed that role and that position, and he was the most wicked king of Israel. We find that he walked in the ways of his mother, Jezebel. She introduced Baal worship to Israel. We find that the Bible tells us that he walked in the way of Jeroboam. And we had discussed many weeks ago when we first started our series on the life of Elijah, how that Jeroboam, when the United Kingdom became a divided kingdom and he becomes the king over Israel, how he introduced the false worship and all of the feasts and various things so that they didn't return to Jerusalem. And it was wicked what took place. And so the Bible tells us that this man Ahaziah, he walked in the ways of Ahab, he walked in the ways of Jezebel, and he walked in the ways of Jeroboam. And he served Baal. The most stunning thing is the Bible tells us in verse number 53 that it provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel. I don't know this evening if we can really wrap our minds around that statement, but I don't want to do anything that would provoke God to anger. Amen. Our God is a consuming fire. The Bible says that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And I want God to be pleased with my life. And I hope that you have that desire as well. As we get into 2 Kings chapter number 1, we find the Bible would record for us this situation where the Moabites have revolted and rebelled against the children of Israel after the death of Ahab. Ahaziah is now reigning as king. And the Bible tells us about this rebellion of the Moabites. And it also records for us the source of which we'll be studying this evening, the encounter that the messengers of Ahaziah had with Elijah. If you're taking notes this evening, the title of the message comes from verse number 8 of 2 Kings chapter 1, and it's very simply this: it is Elijah the Tishbite. Notice in verse number 8, these are the messengers, answered him, that's King Ahaziah. He was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins, the description of Elijah, and he, King Ahaziah, said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Notice with me, as we look at the passage of Scripture, if you're taking notes this evening, Ahaziah's injury is reported. In verses 1 and 2, we are made aware about this injury that Ahaziah suffers. It says, then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, go and inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. Now, as you notice in 2 Kings 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us we're made aware of this injury that this man, King Ahaziah, suffered. The Bible tells us how he suffered the injury. It tells us that he fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber. The Bible tells us that he was sick. And it reveals to us, because of his actions, because of the steps that he takes, it really reveals to us the seriousness of this situation. The Bible tells us that he was sick, and in that condition, after he'd fallen through that lattice and he's now sick, the Bible tells us that he sent messengers, and here's what he desired to know, whether I shall recover of this disease. And so it seems quite evident through the text of Scripture that the injury was serious enough to cause Ahaziah to consider his own mortality. It caused him to consider, am I going to recover? Am I going to live? Or am I going to die? Now, the issue that we have in the text of Scripture and the concern that comes to us as we look at the text of Scripture is that he sent messengers to inquire, but he sent them to the idols. He sent the messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. He refused to seek the Lord. Now, Ahaziah, we know as we get through the study this evening, he was aware of Elijah. He was aware that there's a God in heaven. He had this knowledge. He had this understanding. Remember, these things that have happened that we've studied in the life of Elijah, these things did not happen in a corner somewhere. Amen? I mean, they were well reported as to the things that had taken place. It was a very public exercise that took place on Mount Carmel. It was a very public thing when all of the priests and those idol worshipers, all of those folks were put to death. It was a very public thing that took place. So much so that when Ahab got back, according to 1 Kings 19, and told Jezebel all that had taken place, she said, I'm going to kill Elijah. We studied it. We know what these things are that we've studied thus far. But the point that I'm making to you this evening is that remember that it was Elijah that when he stood there before the prophets of Baal and he called them, he told Ahab, gather them to Mount Carmel, that he addressed the people and he said, how long halt you between two opinions? Right? If the Lord be God, then serve him. But if Baal, then serve him. We find that he made it very plain as to what was going to happen there on Mount Carmel. He said that the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. What happened? Prophets of Baal, I mean, they went almost all day, right? They were doing all that they could. They were cutting themselves and they were doing all sorts of things, yet there was no fire. There was no answer from Baal. Why? Because he's an idol. He's a false god. Elijah repairs the altar. He sets things in place. He has all of the instruction as to what would take place, and he prays a powerful prayer, and God answers by sending fire from heaven. And all of the people said, after that event took place, all of those that were gathered, we know that the prophets of Baal would be killed, but we know that they said, "The Lord, He is the God." The Lord, He is the God. And so now here's Ahaziah. I want you to understand that Ahaziah now is in this situation where he's fallen. He has this injury. It's reported to us. We're made aware of what's taking place. And he's concerned about his own mortality. Am I going to survive or am I going to die? And he gathers some messengers and sends them to go inquire of the false gods. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? We find that the influence in Ahaziah's life, the influence of his father Ahab and his mother Jezebel, what wicked, ungodly influence that was in his life, it kept him from seeking the Lord God of Israel. We find the injuries reported as we continue to move through the text of Scripture. We find that God's instruction is recorded. Notice in verse number 3, "But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, 'Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die, and Elijah departed.'" We see that's the obedience of Elijah there in verse number 4. But I want you to see the instruction that is given. Once again, as we would consider throughout the life of Elijah, it's as if Elijah just kind of comes on the scene and then he's gone. And then he comes on the scene and then he's gone. We mentioned that in chapter number 20 of the book of 1 Kings that there's some unnamed prophet that's there that gives some instruction to Ahab with regard to the victory that they would have over the Syrians, and surely the victory came to pass. But Elijah's not there. That's not who the prophet is. It's some unnamed prophet. Then we find in chapter 21, again, Elijah appears on the scene. He has that final encounter with King Ahab, and then he's gone again. And it says in 1 Kings 22 that it was 3 years after that when they went into battle with the Syrians when Ahab would die. And so during that 3 years, Elijah's not mentioned. In fact, in chapter 22, when they were going to go into battle, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, as they have a conversation, Ahab brings all of his false prophets in to get counsel from them whether they should go into battle. And Jehoshaphat says, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord?" And you know, it's interesting what is said by Ahab. There's one, his name is Micaiah, and he never prophesies anything good about me. He didn't want to hear from Micaiah. We find that he's brought in and there's discourse there, but we find that then Ahab died in there. But now this period of time comes. Now Ahaziah has this this situation, and he was going to die, as we see in the text of Scripture. We know that from 1 Kings chapter 22 that he reigned for 2 years. So if we try to put all the timeline together, if at the end of chapter 21, when Elijah stood before Ahab to tell him of his death, if there was 3 years before the battle with the Syrians when Ahab was killed, and Ahaziah reigned for 2 years, we know that it's a period of time of close to 5 years in between the time that we see Elijah in 1 Kings 21 and then now see him here in 2 Kings 1. And just as quickly as he comes on the scene, we find that he moves, but he's always following the direction of the Lord. And we find that God's instruction is recorded. Notice that it reveals to us the omniscience of God. Remember in chapter 21, as we studied last week, God told Elijah exactly where to go to find Ahab. He told him he'd be down by the vineyard of Naboth. Why? Because God knew where he was. God knew what he did. God was aware of the situation. Now we find that God comes to Elijah. It says that the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, notice he says, "Go, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria." He tells them where to go. He tells them who to meet. He tells him what to tell them. Notice the message. It's really plain instruction. He says to them, God tells Elijah to tell these messengers, "Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?" We find that Elijah obeys the instruction that God has given. We find that the instruction is recorded and Elijah obeys the Lord. And we find again throughout the study of Elijah, we see common reference to his obedience. He did what God told him to do. We find that the messengers of Ahaziah are then intercepted by Elijah, the man of God. Notice in verse number 4, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." And Elijah departed. He's on the scene for a very short period of time, right? He got the instruction from the Lord. He went and met the messengers. By the way, can you imagine these messengers? They're on their way to go to the place where their king had told them to go to inquire of who they were to inquire of. And as they're on their journey, they're intercepted by Elijah, the man of God. It does not appear from the text of Scripture that they knew who he was. They do not tell Ahaziah that Elijah told us that. We'll see this in just a moment. But we find that Elijah intercepts them. And Elijah says in verse number 4, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord." Here's a message from God. Here's what you need to go back and tell Ahaziah. "Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." That's not a very positive message, is it? I'm sure that's probably not what Ahaziah was hoping to receive from those that he was seeking to inquire from. But we find here in the text of Scripture that Elijah is obedient to the word of the Lord. He delivers the message that God tells him to deliver, and then he departs. It says in verse number 5, "And when the messengers were turned back unto him," that's Ahaziah, "he said unto them, why are you now turned back?" As we go through the text of Scripture, we find that Ahaziah's injury is reported, that God's instruction is recorded. Number 3, if you're taking notes this evening, I want you to notice from the text of Scripture that Elijah's identity is realized. Elijah's identity is realized. The Bible tells us that these messengers return back, and we find that here Ahaziah says in 2 Kings 1 and verse number 5, "Why are you now turned back?" Ahaziah had an idea of how long it would take his messengers to get to the place where they were supposed to go to inquire and come back. He had an estimated understanding of how long those travels would take. And they didn't take as long. Why? Because Elijah intercepted them, right? They didn't make it very far, and Elijah comes and meets them, and Elijah delivers the message from the Lord. And so when they come back, Ahaziah is wondering, why are you back so soon? What's going on? And we find that the messengers then say to Ahaziah in verse number 6, "There came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go, turn again unto the king that sent you and say unto him," notice, "thus saith the Lord." Elijah's been saying this all the way through his ministry. When he first stands before Ahab, now when he's giving this message to Ahaziah, he doesn't give it to him personally. He delivers the message through these messengers that Ahaziah had sent forth. And we find that he says, "Thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." So we find in the text of Scripture that the messengers receive the message from the Lord. Now these messengers deliver the message to Ahaziah, that wicked king that the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 22 that he walked in the way of his father, he walked in the way of his mother, he walked in the way of Jeroboam, he served Baal, he provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, and now he has this injury. He inquires of the false gods, and Elijah, following the direction of the Lord, intercepts these messengers, gives them a message. And now, here's Ahaziah with this information. But notice how he responds to the information. "He said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words?" You know what he's most concerned about? Who told you this? Who's the source? He wants to know. See, because the messengers didn't say, Elijah met us and told us this. The messenger simply said, remember in verse number 6, there came a man up to meet us. He said, go back to the king and deliver this message, thus saith the Lord, and then delivers the message. Ahaziah said, who is it? He asked the question this way, what manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these words? Notice that as Ahaziah, as we've mentioned already, was perplexed by their soon return. The messengers rehearsed their experience, and Ahaziah now knows that he would surely die. He would not recover from this sickness, from this disease, and he would face death. It says in verse number 8, they, the messengers, they answered him. Notice how they describe Elijah, and hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. Now, that's not a very detailed description, right? I mean, it's a pretty simple description. I'm sure there were plenty of men that were hairy, and I'm sure there are plenty that had that were girt with a girdle of leather about their loins. I'm sure there were plenty. But notice immediately, he, Ahaziah, said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. It is Elijah the Tishbite. See, as we look at the text of Scripture and we see Elijah's ministry here, and it's obviously just a quick reference to Elijah in our text of Scripture in 2 Kings chapter number 1, but we find that Elijah, throughout his ministry, he's constantly and continually calling people to recognize the true God of heaven. See, he's ministering in a time, in a period of Israel's history where idolatry is very prevalent. He's ministering in such a time of all of that Baal worship, and we have studied that throughout his ministry, and now we find that Ahaziah is sending these messengers to go inquire of these false gods, and we find that Elijah, because of God's desire to make himself known, God sends Elijah and desires for not only the messengers, but for Ahaziah himself to know that there's a God in heaven. He said, is it not because there is not a God in Israel? Why are you inquiring of these false gods? It's interesting to me, as we look at the text of Scripture, to consider the long-term ministry of Elijah to make the Lord known, and to go and to, with courage and boldness, stand and make the Lord known amongst those that are serving false gods. It's an application for us. I mean, that's our job. That's our duty, to make Christ known. We understand this evening that it might not be people that are serving idols such as they served during this same period of time, but we find today that there's a group of people that do not know the Lord God of the Bible. Amen? There's some wicked stuff that's going on in our society today and how this country is trying to portray our holy God. It's absolutely sickening. Some of the stuff that's going on in our society today. They don't know God. It's our job to make Him known. Amen? They didn't know God. They were serving these idols. But it's interesting to me that Ahaziah was aware of Elijah. It wasn't like he didn't know who Elijah was. Because with a simple statement, with a simple description of being a hairy man and having girt with the girdle of leather about his loins, he, Ahaziah, immediately says, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Next week, we'll study the account and what takes place and how the king sends messengers to Ahab and Elijah and the fire that falls from heaven and so on and so forth. And we'll study that. Actually, not next week. It'll be a couple of weeks because of the holidays. But we find here that Ahaziah knew about Elijah. He knew something about the man of God. No doubt he knew something about God. Can I tell you this evening, it's not enough to know about him. You got to know him. It's not enough to just know about God. It's not enough to just know about the man of God. You got to know God. I'm thinking this evening as we would consider the truth that we see in the life of the Apostle Paul, and he says in Philippians chapter 3 that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, And we find that he desired to have that intimate knowledge of God. Someone said this years ago, to know God is to know his word. See, God reveals himself to us through his word. All that we know about God comes through what he's given us in his word. And this evening, it's not enough to know about him. It's not enough to be able to rehearse some accounts from the Bible and to know some of the popular Bible accounts and Bible stories, as some would refer to them as. No, we need to know the God of heaven. See, Ahaziah knew about Elijah, but he didn't send his messengers to Elijah. He sent his messengers to Baalzebub, the god of Ekron. He wanted them to go there to that false god, to those idols, and to find out if he would recover of his disease. And it's the Lord God Almighty, that is omniscient, that knows all things, that was able to give the message to Ahaziah, no, Ahaziah, you're going to die. You're not going to recover. And this evening, we take a lesson even from that truth. All of us are going to die one day. I hope it's not because I fall through some lattice. But we're all going to die. Amen? As it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. If we know that we're going to die, and we understand that lesson that I mentioned about knowing God and not just knowing about him, it is of absolute importance this evening that each and every one of us know the Lord personally. That we know him. Not just know about him. You know, what a tragedy it would be to grow up in a church that preaches the Bible, to be around other believers, to hear the testimonies and the songs and all of that sort of thing, but never personally know God. See, it's got to become a personal thing. And for Ahaziah, yes, he had some wicked influences, but we know that there's always a remnant. Right? God does not leave his people without a witness, and there Elijah's there. And Ahaziah had knowledge of Elijah and the message, no doubt, that he proclaimed. And this evening, as we look at this account in 2 Kings 1, we see about his injury, and we understand the instruction, the obedience, and we see that the identity of Elijah is realized by Ahaziah. But this evening, do we know him? Not just know about him, but know him. This evening, are we making him known as Elijah was? Are we making the Lord known? Because there's a lot of people in our society today that just don't know God. They just don't know him. And we have an opportunity to make Christ known. And what a blessed opportunity and privilege it is to make the Lord known. Are you ready to face the Lord? Are you ready to die? So, well, not right at this moment. What I mean, though, is we don't know when we're going to die. James says our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Right? We have no idea. This morning, I left playing basketball this morning, and I was driving, and I'm telling you, a deer ran in front of me as close as I am from here to Mr. Don. I never have had to hit my brakes so hard in my life. And that, I've never seen a deer run like this. I mean, he had his head down and he was going, man. But I mean, your life can change in just an instant. You can face eternity that quick. You know what I mean? People die every day. I mean, the statistics of how many people die every minute in the world, it's astonishing. What I'm saying this evening, are you ready to face the Lord? Because Ahaziah said, no, you're going to die. Or God told Ahaziah, you're going to die. And we know that we're going to die. We don't know when. But are we ready? There's lessons for us from the text of Scripture. Ahaziah said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Oh, that we'd be known from just a simple description, but it was also the description coupled with the message that was delivered. Thus saith the Lord. Right? Here's what's going to happen. And so when we look at Elijah and we see him here again, just quickly on the pages of Scripture, oh, what a great testimony he had and the boldness to proclaim the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this evening. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word, for the truth that's contained therein. I pray, God, that you would help us this evening to know you, God, I pray for each one, from the youngest to the oldest, God, that we would not just know about you, but that we would know you personally, that we'd have that personal relationship with you because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful to make known to this lost and dying world the truth regarding the person of Christ, who you are. I pray that you'd bless our time of prayer, that you alone would be glorified. We'll thank you for what you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone